Begin the current Daf Masechtas Bava Metzia Daf Tzadi Tes. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins explaining the halacha that was mentioned on the bottom of the previous Daf. The Mishnah mentioned, again on the theme of these Mishnahs regarding Hashoilas Apara, someone that borrows a cow, and then the lender was sending it from where he lived to where the borrowers lived, and it was en route, so on the journey, and on the journey it died. So the Mishnah says it depends how this mission was undertaken to see who's going to have the responsibility and the liability. If the lender just sent it to him, then the shaleach is going to be exempt until it came to him, no matter who was the agent, whether the mashaleach's children or slaves or his agents or slaves. Whereas if the shaleach, if the shayel, if the borrower had told the mashaleach to send it, it was based on his directive, then the shayel is going to be chayiv once it came to the agent's hand or the slave or the child's hand, even before it got to his domain. And therefore he'll be chayiv if it dies. And that's why Gemara asks as follows. Regarding the case that the Mishnah said that if the borrower said to the lender, send it to me through your slave, and he sent it to him, so on that the Mishnah said that biyad abdo, it was sent in the hand of even the slave of the lender, that chayiv, that the borrower is going to be liable for the einsim that happened on the way if it dies. Now that the Gemara's question is, but it never left the domain of the lender, because the halach is yad evit ki yad rabbi, the hand of the slave is essentially considered like the hand of the master, and it's as if like the master himself, the lender was coming to bring it, and then for sure if it dies on the way that the lender himself is coming to bring it, it's still in his domain. So it's definitely the liability of the lender. Why did the Mishnah say that the borrower is going to be liable? Even if it's his directive, who cares? He tells the lender, send it to me. But the lender didn't. The lender himself was bringing it. You can't say that it was in the domain of the borrower for him to be chayim if the lender himself is bringing it. So when he has his eved bring it, it's like yad eved ki yad rab. It's like he himself is bringing it. How is the shoyel chayim, even if it was coming based on his directive, it never left the domain of the mashal of the lender. So Amar Shmuel, he explains, the eved ivri. Our Mishnah that was talking about that when the borrower told the lender to send it with the hand of his slave, it was talking about his Jewish slave. We don't say Yad Eved Kira Rabbi by a Jewish slave, that's by a non-Jewish slave, where he owns him like cattle. A Jewish slave, he has rights to work him, but he doesn't own his actual body. We don't say the hand of the slave is like the hand of the master, and that's why once he is sending his Jewish slave to bring it to the borrower based on the directive of the borrower, it's like it left his domain, and now it's already the responsibility of the borrower. That's Shmuel's answer. Rav Amar, he says, now you could even say the halacha of Mishnah, even by the non-Jewish slaves. But it's as if it's considered as if the borrower told to the lender, hikisha b'makel, which is a halacha known as hit it with a stick, v'hitavai, and let it come to me. Meaning, since from the moment that it left the domain of the owner, because of the directive that the borrower told the lender to do this action, which is to send this shliach, which in this case is even his non-Jewish slave, so whether the circumstances, it doesn't make a difference, is already considered in the domain of the borrower because he makes himself indebted the moment it leaves the proper domain of the lender, because that's like the category of where he tells him, hit it with a stick, until it leaves the house. From the moment it leaves the house, it was because of the directive of the borrower, meaning the one who was telling him to do it. In this case too, even though you're right, that Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi, and it's his non-Jewish slave, doesn't make a difference. It's like it's because he's telling him to do this thing that he's mishabed himself. And he says, even if as if the guy himself was bringing it, but it's my responsibility. I'm taking responsibility when you do what I tell you, which is to take the stick and hit it and make it leave. In this case, by you sending out your slave from your house once he gets on the road, it's already my responsibility. So Rav says it could even be by a non-Jewish slave. On that, the Gemara asks, Meisver, the Gemara is from the following Brisa on Rav. The Brisa says, Hashoyel es hapara. So if someone borrows a cow, like the case of our Mishnah, v'shilcholoi, and the lender sends it to him, if it's biyad b'noi, biyad shluchay, if it, let's say, it's the son of the lender, or the agent of the lender sends it to the borrower, says the Brisa, chayiv, so the borrower is going to be liable, because, like the case of our Mishnah, when the borrower tells the lender, send it to me in the hand of your son, and the lender acquiesces, so then the liability is by the shayel. But, says the Braisa, biyad avdoi potter. But if the lender sends it to him through his slave, then, even though the borrower had said, send it to me in the hand of your slave, it was his directive, that the borrower is going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, Bishlim l'Shmuel, according to Shmuel, it's not a difficulty because we could explain Masnitin, our Mishnah that said that he's going to be chayiv d'shayel, someone b'eved ivri. by a Jewish slave. A Jewish slave, then it left the domain of the lender and it came into the domain of the borrower because it was based on his directive. But Braisa be'ebed Kenani. But the Braisa that said that the borrower is going to be exempt when the lender sends his slave based on the directive of the borrower is told by a non-Jewish slave, where we said that yad eved k'yad rabbi. So that even though it's his directive, it never left the domain of the lender, and therefore it's still his liability. But el Rav Kasha, according to Rav, it's difficult. You can't give that answer because he explains the halacha of the Mishnah also by eved Kenani. But it's just that it's like nasi ko'imer loy that. So you see, by Ebi Kenani Yuchayev, so why does the Brisa say you're going to be potter? So that the Gemara says, you're at Amalcha Rav, Rav would tell you, Loi Tema, don't say how we had originally explained the answer in the name of Rav, that it's Nasika Amarle, that whenever the borrower tells the lender to send it with his non-Jewish slave, it's as if he's telling him this halacha of Hikisha B'makal, make it leave, and then I'm making myself responsible. Ela Imer rather say that the way Rav explains the halacha of the Mishnah is ba'amar lehi kisha b'makal v'itavei. Not it's as if he told them, but the halacha of the Mishnah is actually only in the case when he actually told them, hit it with a stick and have it come after me, where then he's taking explicit responsibility and liability from the moment that it leaves the courtyard of the lender, and because he sent it with his slave, that's not going to make him exempt because he explicitly said, I'm going to take responsibility. In contrast, the case of the Braisa, when he didn't say that, so then you're right, then Yad Avikarad Rabbi, and then he's going to be exempt. Ditma, like we learned, if someone says, Hishiloni Paraska, lend me your cow. Vamalei b'yad mi, and he says, and in whose hand? How should I send it to you? Vamalei, and the bar says to him, Hikisha b'makal v'tavei, hit it with a stick and let it come, and the moment it leaves your house, I take responsibility. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvu, Amar Rav, Kivin Sheyatzis Mirshus Mashal Umesa. The moment it leaves the domain of the lender Umesa and it dies, Chayiv, the borrower is going to be liable because that's the Salacha B'kisha Makal. So it doesn't make a difference who he sends it with. The second it leaves your house, he tells the lender, "I'm taking responsibility. Even if it's your Eved Kenani, which is like your hand, I take responsibility. I'm being Meshabed my Nefesh. I'm taking Achrayus, and therefore that's the Halacha of." Our Mishnah, where he's going to be chayav, the Braisa is going to be potter, because he didn't say that explicitly. And then you're right, Ebi Kenani, Rav agrees, is kiyad rabbi, and therefore didn't leave his domain, therefore the shell is going to be potter. Says the Gemara, name Misayeli. Now with the new version of Rav, the Gemara says, let's quote the following Braisa that seems to support his opinion. The Braisa says, if the borrower says, Hishiloni Parascha, lend me your cow. Vamalei biyad mi, and the lender says, and with who should I send it? Vamalei, and the borrower says to him, don't worry who you send it with. Hikisha b'makal v'itavei, hit it with a stick and chase it out of your house, and then it'll come to me. It'll come to where I am. Says the Braisa, kimi shiyatz mishus mashal u'meisa chayiv. So the moment that it leaves the property proper of the lender, and it dies once it leaves the door, then the borrower is going to be liable. So seemingly that's exactly the way Rav described this halacha of hikisha b'makal, which is the taking responsibility that no matter what the circumstances are, whoever he's sending with, that the borrower is going to be chayiv. As he's explaining, the halacha of a Mishnah, even by Eved Kenani, we usually say Yad Eved Kerabbi and Rabbi, but if he says hikisha b'makal, he's chayiv. And that says, Amar Rav Ashi says, no raya to Rav's opinion. Because Hachamai Skin, we could say that what's the case that Braisa is talking about? Kugin Shahisacha Tseirish Shashel would be told in a case where the courtyard of the borrower, who it's going from the lender's courtyard to the borrower's courtyard, was Lefnim Mechet Tseirish Mashal, was actually from within the courtyard of the lender. In other words, the courtyard of the lender opens up to the public domain. And the courtyard of the borrower is actually from within the lender's courtyard. So his courtyard is in the inner courtyard, and his courtyard opens up into the lender's courtyard, where no one goes in and out to the courtyard of the lender, of the borrower, only through the lender's courtyard. Where there you could say that's where there's the reliance and the, therefore, responsibility taking of the borrower from the moment that it leaves the lender's courtyard. Why? Because the chimishalchala, because from when the owner gets ready to send out the animal that the borrower is asking him to borrow, and he sends it towards the direction of the courtyard of the borrower, and he gives it a hit with a stick, which makes it go out in that direction, vadi lohasam asla. There for sure it's going to go, because there's nowhere else for it to go, and there's no other way that anything else could happen to it, but go in the direction of the borrower's courtyard. There you could say, says the Gemara, that that's when the shoel will be meshabe navshe and take full responsibility. But there's no right to Rav's case. But if, let's say, it had to go through an area of the public domain, there says Rav Ashi, I would tell you that even if he said in those words that he wouldn't be so reliant that the lender is going to make it just follow the Shael's directive and send it out without any guardian. And therefore, since he's not confident that the lender is going to do it, he himself really doesn't take responsibility until it comes to his hand. And therefore, we could say that actually the Braisa could even be like Shmuel, that really we don't agree to this premise that Rav says that even something which is normally in the domain of the lender, that once he says Yikisha b'makal, oh, then he takes full responsibility. It's not true. There he takes full responsibility because it's only going to go to his courtyard. There's nowhere else that it's going. That's when he's gomer m'sha b'nafshi. But a regular case, when he's sending from the lender's house to the borrower's house, maybe then he actually wouldn't take responsibility. And then we would say, let's say in the case of that we're discussing, Rabbi Kanani, that actually, as Shmuel had said, that then he would be pater in all cases because of the halacha of Yad Ebed Kirad Rabbi, but rather the halacha of a Mishnah, as Shmuel said, is by Ebed Ivri. Now the Gemara asks, but Ihachi, if that's the case of the Braisa, the way Ravashi is explaining it, so my lemember, then what's the necessity of saying that Chiddush? Of course, if the Shoel is in the inner courtyard, and the Mashal is in the outer courtyard, and the Mashal is hitting it in the direction of the Shoel's courtyard, of course, the next door neighbor is nowhere else for it to go. So of course, if he says to hit it, and it's coming his way, of course he's taking full responsibility. And I think Mar says, no, it's necessary because the Ika Gazyasa, where they were in the courtyard of the lender, there were nooks and crannies and corners and different pockets where the animal could turn there and get lost somewhere. So maybe you would say that no, that the bar is still not so confident and reliant. Because Dilmakai Mohasam Veloyasa Azilahedya, maybe it'll end up staying stuck in the lender's courtyard. And it's not going to end up coming into his courtyard. And therefore, maybe he's really not taking responsibility, even though he said that hid it and let it come to me. That would be the chiddush of the Braisa, that even when it's by the inner courtyard and there's other places it could get lost, still is confident because there's nothing else, that there's no other elements there. It's not going through the streets or the public domain, and therefore he's taking achrayas. But again, there's no riot to Rav's case when it would be going through Rosh Rabim to say that when he says Yikisha b'makal, he takes full responsibility in all situations. Nothing more quotes the following Amarok halacha, which will relate to the halacha of our Mishnah. Am Rav Huna. On this topic of our perek regarding someone that borrows something. So someone that borrows a hatchet, a type of an axe from his friend. So it says Rav Huna as follows. Bakaboy kanoi. If he used it to chop with, then he's acquired the hatchet until the term of the loan, the expiration date, until it comes, meaning they made up he's going to borrow it for 30 days. If he already used it, then he acquired it for the full time of the loan. Loi bokaboy, loi kanoi. But if he didn't yet chop with it, then he has not acquired it. Now, the reason is because he holds that although he did meshicha on it, he already took it, he drew it from the lender to his own domain, that is not a kinyan by a shomer, meaning a shoyel is one of the four shomerim. Just drawing in there is not considered a full acquisition to say that he's acquired it, and it's like as if it wasn't loaned yet, so he hasn't acquired it. So the Gemara is lamai. For what halachic ramification is this relevant to say that if he already used it, he already chopped with it, then he already acquired it? But if not, not. Says the Gemara, Ile Melo Einsin, if you would say, as a simple translation would sound like that, it's regards to halacha of Einis, meaning a shayel, is chayv an Einsin. But if it's not considered like as if he became a shayel yet, because his position of shomer didn't start yet until he actually uses it, but on that, the Gemara says, "B'maishna para." Then why is it any different than the case of the cow of our Mishnah? The Mishah She'ela, that from the moment that it was considered borrowed, meaning even when he, through his directive, he designated someone to even bring it to his house, it didn't even come to him yet. It's on the road. We said if an oinus happens, it's going to be chayiv, even though he didn't use it, because the loan started yet, because it was already drawn from the domain of the lender. So then how could we understand Rav Huna's halacha that says that you didn't consider kainit until you actually used it? Elder rather says the Gemara, must be, it's talking about l'chazara. It's talking about that if, let's say, the lender wants to back out and take it back from the borrower during the interim period when he had guaranteed him that he's going to lend it for him, that's where this halacha becomes relevant. And that is, baka boy le'motzi hadar be'mashal. If the borrower already used it, so that already started his duration of his she'ela, of his loan, and therefore he can't back out anymore. But if he didn't yet use it, so then it's like it wasn't yet activated, the loan that he had given him, and then the lender could back out. But regarding Einzin, that happens the moment the Meshicha happens, the She'ela happens. Regarding the lender being able to back out, that starts when it's used or not. Now says the Gemara, Pligid Rabami. This halacha of Rav Huna disputes that halacha of Rabami, because the Amr Rabami, he said the following halacha, which will prove that disagrees with this halacha of Rav Huna. He says, "Hamashal kardim shel hektish." Someone lends to somebody else a hatchet, which is really belongs in the property of hektish. Says Rabami, so the lender has committed me'ila, misappropriation, that he has to now compensate hektish, the principal that was benefited through this loan that he had then transferred it from the domain of hektish to this guy that he was lending it to. Now, what was the benefit that he had out of this item that he's considered to have having misappropriated the item of hektish? He didn't use it. He lent it to someone else. It's lafi toivis hanoshabai. It's regarding how much we would evaluate a person would like to lose from his own money so that someone should have thanks and gratitude and be obliged to the person that, wow, I'm so appreciative that you lent me something. It's worth, it has a monetary value. That monetary value was the benefit this guy had from a hektish item. That's the me'ila he has committed, and that's the amount he has to pay to hektish. Now, moreover, says Rabami, now because that this guy had already committed me'ila and transferred it and deconsecrated it from hektish by being mechallel into chulin by giving it to this person that he lent it to, so now the chaver mutu levaka by leketchila. Now the guy that he lent it to is actually initially allowed to go ahead and use this item, even if he knows after that he got it that it was actually an item of hektish, because since the lender who lent it to him by mistake gave it to him, now once he gave it to him, now the guy's like, wow, thank you so much for lending it to him, to lending it to me. Now at that point already, the lender already becomes obligated, and now that toibas anah that he got, and he owes that to hektish, so that already is mechal the hektish, and it gets deconsecrated and becomes chulin. So now the guy who borrowed it, now he finds out, and the guy says, oh, I didn't realize what I gave it to you a few moments ago was hektish. Oh yeah, I committed me'ila. This guy, now the bar could go ahead and use it, because now it's chulin. That's the halacha of Rambam. Says the Gemara, Ve'iloi kanoi. Now, if you hold like Rav Huna, that the borrower did not acquire the thing that he borrowed with meshicha by just drawing it, samay mol. So why did the lender commit me'ila if the borrower yet didn't even use the item? Because we're saying he's allowed to initially use it, meaning he didn't even use it, just by lending it, he committed me'ila. Why did he commit me'ila? There's no me'ila until he actually goes out and uses it. Moreover, according to Rav Huna, why would we say that the borrower would be allowed to use it initially? What do you mean? Nahadre, he should have to give it back, and that he should not have acquired it, and that not committed me'ila. Obviously, this disputes Rav Huna's halacha, who he said that the halacha applies only when you go ahead and use it. It's only regarding einsin, that monetary law, that happens right when the she'ela, but regarding the actual loan itself, that transfer only started when he uses it. Obviously, we see from Mami, that's not true, that the transfer already happens from the moment that the borrower actually takes it, what's called the meshicha from the lender, that already is considered that it started, that the lender wouldn't be able to back out, and thus, the committal of me'ila. Moreover, says the Gemara, pliga, that this halacha of Funa also argues on the Rebbe Laza. Argues on Rebbe Laza because the Amr Rebbe Laza said as follows. Said, kederech shetiknu meshicha b'lakucha, just like they instituted that there's a kinyan of meshicha drawing near regarding a consumer, when someone's buying something, when he draws near the item that he bought, that's a kinyan that he already acquired it, and now no one could back out, as we learned in Perek HaZav. So too, they instituted that there's a kinyan of meshicha by a shomer, which is this idea that you can't back out once the shomer does meshicha, his loan already started. That's not like this halacha Rav Huna that said that's not true until he actually used it. Says the Gemara, Tana Mahach is similar in a braisa like Rabbi Lazar. The braisa says, Keshem shetiknu meshicha b'lakucha, just like they instituted the kinyan of meshicha by a consumer, so the institute of the kinyan of meshicha by a shomer. Now another comparison, the Brisa says, ukashem, and just like as you continue to amid beis, shekarka niknes bekesev ubishtar v'chazaka, that land could be acquired through either money, a document, or a chazaka, which that means to say is that where the guy, the consumer comes and he locks the door, or he breaks open a breach in the wall, as the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin, which teaches this halacha of chazaka, that's how you can take possession of a piece of land. Kach, schiris, nikne mekesev, b'shtav chazaka. So too, a rental could also be acquired through either money, a document, or a chazaka. So the Gemara asks, schiris, which the Gemara assumes when it says a rental, that even if you're renting an animal or some type of a tool, says the Gemara, maya vidite. What does that have to do to be acquired through kesef shtar chazaka if you didn't do meshicha yet? What type of chazaka without meshicha helps by metaltlim, by movable items? Those are not kinyon that work, by movable items. So how does a rental work with Kesav Shtar Chazaka? Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda, it means Schiris Karka. It means the rental of a piece of land. If let's say someone's lending this, releasing to someone else's house, so from the moment that the renter gives him money, or when the owner writes a document that my house is rented to you and he gives him over the document, or from the moment that the renter takes possession by doing a chazak on the house, once they do one of these three ways, then they can't back out anymore. Again, just like we say regarding karka, that once you do one of the three kinyanim, it's a done deal. So too, regarding schiris of karka too, when you do one of these three kinyanim, that already is a done deal, and then that no one could back out of the rental agreement. Continuing on the previous topic, the Gemara brings Amar Shmuel. Hayman the gozel chavitza the tamri mechaveri. Regarding someone that stole a chavitza the tamri. Chavitza means when they're bundled together. When he steals a bundle of dates that are bundled together from his friend. Now the ispa chamishim tamri, and there are 50 dates in that bundle. Now, so the Gemara explains that agav hadodi mizdavnon benun nechi chada. When they're sold together in one bundle, they're actually sold for 49. Because someone that buys them together will only pay 49 prutas, so that now, if he buys at bulk, he can now sell each one individually and he'll gain, all the profit margin will be one pruta. But chada chada, misdavne menun. As we just said, that's why when someone buys in the bundle, when they're sold individually, then all 50 are sold for 50 prutas. So says the Gemara, says Shmuel, so the halach is as follows. Regarding this guy who steals this bundle of 50 dates, lehedyet, if he stole it from a common or regular person, Misham Chamishim Nechichad. So he only pays 49 prutas, the way they would be sold at one shot. And we're not meticulous to be stringent on him, as the Gemara is going to later explain. He only has to pay 49. But Lehektish, if he stole this bundle of dates, the 50 dates Lehektish, if it belonged to Hektish, then first of all, Misham Chamishim, then he has to actually pay 50 prutas. And more of a vechum shah, he has to pay an additional fifth of a penalty, which is the halacha anytime you misappropriate something from Hekdesh, which Shmuel says, Masha inkim mazik, which does not apply actually if you damaged, let's say, these 50 dates of Hekdesh, which that's in regards to halachas of chaymish, with delay misham chumshah, where then you're not going to pay the additional fifth penalty. And the reason for that is because the Amar Malik, the master said, the pasuk b'yikra says, Ish ki yoichal kaidish. The halacha of me'ila applies when the man will consume that which is hekdish. Prat lamazik, that excludes that which he's not consuming, he's not getting any benefit, he's just destroying it. Then, of course, you have to pay back the principal, but then there's no penalty of the fifth. So, this halacha by the gzela, that applies that you have to pay 50, but plus a fifth doesn't apply to damaging. But that's a difference between hedid and hekdish. By hekdish, you have to pay 50, and by hedid, you only have to pay 49. That was halacha Shmuel. And that says the Gemara Maskabler of Bibi Bar Abai, he asks to Shmuel as follows. Lehedyet, amay misham chamishim nechichada. Why buy a regular person when he steals this bundle of 50 dates, he only pays for 49 prutas, which is how much it's worth, let's say, when it's sold in the bundle. And that he asks, but neimalei, but let the victim say to the thief, ano chada chada havim mezavininalu. What do you mean? I would have sold each one individually. You shouldn't have to only pay me 49, which is how much the bundle is worth. You stole from me something worth 50 prutas because I was willing to sell each one individually and I would have had it a value of 50 prutas. So Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, he says, no. Shaman Beisa Ba'isa Sadatnan. We learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Kama that we evaluate an area of a sa, how much that's worth in the larger context of the field. Which the mission over there is in Baba Kama Nun Heim Abayz, which is talking about the hezek of shein, which when an animal consumes produce in someone else's field. So the Gemara there brings the pasuk that when if the animal is going to consume in a person's field or a vineyard, the Mishnah says, Ketzed Mishalemes Masha Hezika. How does it pay how much it damaged? So the Mishnah explains as follows, which our Gemara is quoting. You evaluate a bay saw in that field. How much was it worth before this animal ate a row of it? And how much is it worth now? Now, we're not particular to evaluate exactly the produce, what the animal ate. How much is this row worth what it ate? Rather, how much worth is the base saw, the larger area of what it ate? How much is that larger area a little bit worth less? If, let's say, he'd be selling the land with the produce that was planted on it. How much would the value go down now that it's missing one of the rows of that base saw, which is a leniency? Because someone that's coming to buy a tract of land, he won't, fine, I'll say it's worth a little bit less. but it won't be like how much this produce is worth in the market if you evaluate it in its own right, which the Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Nun Ches Mabez learns out this halacha from Sukkim. So says the Gemara, that's the same idea in Shmuel's halacha, where we don't evaluate it how each one individually, how much it would be worth, where yeah, then it would be 50 prutas. But rather, we look at it in the more global context, in the more lenient perspective, where here the bundle is 49, so therefore we're only going to make him pay 49, just like by the Hezek of Shane, where we look at it in the larger picture and they say, okay, what's the more lenient perspective, which is in the larger context. If a guy was buying a whole field and is missing this row, okay, he would take off a little bit, but not as much as the produce itself. Now, that the Gemara asks as follows. Lememr de Sabah Shmuel, is this to say that Shmuel holds that din hedyit lavka din gevayadami? From this halacha of Shmuel, it seems to indicate that the halacha that applies to damages, to theft from a commoner, is not the same as Hekdash. Because by Hekdash, he says you got to pay 50, which is the stringent interpretation that, yeah, the guy could have sold each one individually, so it's 50 prutas. Whereas by a hedyit, it's only 49. Well, that the Gemara asks from another halacha of Shmuel. But it's not. Learn the Mishnah Masechet Me'ilah that says as follows. Natal evan oikari mehekdash. If someone takes a brick or a beam that belongs to the property of Hekdash, says the Mishnah, loimal, he has not committed yet Me'ilah. Now the Gemara Masechet Chagiga asks, why? What's the difference if he takes, or as we'll see later, if he builds it into a building, which then he's going to be chayiv from Me'ilah, or if he gives it to his friend? So the Gemara Chagig explains that the Mishnah there is talking about by the Gizbar, the treasurer of Hekdash, where he always has in his domain all the items of Hekdash, where it's always by him anyway. So therefore, just by picking it up, he hasn't yet committed Me'ilah, because it's like taking from your right pocket to your left pocket, he hasn't yet committed Me'ilah. So if he took the brick or the beam, he has not yet committed Me'ilah, because it's still in the domain of Hekdash, which that's his domain, because he's the treasurer. Now, if he gives it now to his friend, so now he has taken it out from Hekdash, which was, he was the treasurer of that, and given that out to Chulin, to his friend, and his friend acquired it by receiving the gift, so Humal, the one who gave it, he committed the act of misappropriation, but the friend has not yet committed Me'ilah, and therefore the Gizbar now has to compensate for Me'ilah to Hekdash. Says the Mishnah further, let's say the treasurer went and built this beam or this brick, into his house. Says the Mishnah, loimal, he has not yet committed Me'ilah. Now, the Gemara there explains that it's, of course, if you built it into the building, you would be chayav Me'ilah because you've already used it. Rather, tuma that it was over a skylight, meaning it didn't change the brick or the beam. It just put it into an empty place, so it really didn't utilize it yet. Ad sheyadur tachteh b'shav pruta, until he actually lives underneath it for a value of a pruta, meaning he gets that much benefit out of it because now it's not raining on his head because he put that brick into place. Now he had benefit from it, that's the halacha me'ilah, then it'll be chayiv me'ilah to Hekdash. That's the Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah. Now, v'yasev rebavo kamed Rabbi Yechanan. Rebavo was sitting in front of Rabbi Yechanan. V'yasev akamem mishmeid Shmuel, and he was sitting and saying over the name of Shmuel as follows. Shmuel said, zayse meris. So this tells us, this Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah tells us that it said that when now the Gizbar will sit beneath that brick or beam that he put, he'll have committed Me'ilah, even though, as we explained, it didn't change the brick or the beam. If he didn't sleep underneath it or sit underneath it, he wouldn't have been Chayv Me'ilah. It's just that by sitting underneath, he's getting some benefit, he's committed Me'ilah. So such move from that, you can infer the following halacha. Hadar b'chatzach haveri shalom yidaiti. If someone lives in the courtyard of his friend, without his friend's awareness, his friend doesn't even know about it. Says Shmuel, you can infer that tzarech lahalas le'sachar, that you have to pay the owner of whose courtyard you were in, even though it's a courtyard that's not usually even rented out. Where that's what's called in halacha zenen b'zer lechaser. The guy who was slept there a night, he benefited. The guy who owns the field doesn't even know about it, and he's not losing anything because he doesn't even rent it out, no matter what the situation is anyway. Says Shmuel, but you could infer from that Mishnah that he would have to pay him. Why? Because what's this case of Me'ilah? It's without the awareness of Hekdash that this guy's living there, because Hekdash, no one notified Hekdash that this is, someone's going to use this item, and yet still the Mishnah tells us that he has to pay Me'ilah to Hekdash. Now, so said Shmuel, the same thing is by Hadar b'chatzach aver, shlemidaita, where you have to pay, even though the owner is unaware. So says the Gemara, from the fact that Shmuel said Zaysemeris, obviously you see that he learns at the halachas of Hedyit, meaning when you're using a commoner's courtyard, from the halachas of Hekdash, which is sleeping or sitting underneath the beam or the brick of Hekdash, to be stringent Just like by Hekdesh, we're saying you see the halacha of utilizing something of Hekdesh without Hekdesh awareness, you're going to be chayiv. You have a na, and Hekdesh not losing anything because you didn't change it, you're going to be chayiv. Says Shmuel, the same thing applies to a commoner. So that contradicts this previous halacha of Shmuel, which said that no, by the Hekdesh, it'll be 50 prutas. Hedyit, you're not as stringent, it's only going to be 49 prutas. But this halacha Shmuel seems to indicate that we learn out the stringency of his Hekdesh to Hedyit too. So Amalei B'yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said to him, to Rebbe Vo, who had asked him the question, he said, Hadr be Shmuel ma'ahi. Actually, Shmuel retracted from that halacha, and actually he did not end up learning out the halacha of Hadar b'chad sechaver shlemi daitoi, of the homeowner, from the halachas of Hekdesh, because since there's the halacha that we mentioned in our Gemara, that he does not equate the halacha of Hedyit to Hekdesh, he actually retracted from the halacha that I told you of. On that, he asked him, but how do you know that Shmuel actually ended up retracting this halacha that you just told me in his name? Actually, ended up, maybe he retracted from the halacha that we said here in our Gemara, that maybe when you steal from the bundle of dates, you have to pay Hedyit 50, just as you have to pay Hekdesh 50. Just like he learns over there, comparing from being Moil and Hekdesh. And that says, no, you can't say that. It must be that he retracted from that halacha. Because could the Rava, like Rava said, why? The Amar Rava said that actually Hekdesh Shalei Midas, it's not really the same thing as Hadar B'chatz HaChaber Shalei Midaita. Why? Because when you misappropriate something from Hekdesh without Hekdesh's awareness, it's Kehedit Midas Dami. It actually is the same equivalent as using someone else's things with that person's awareness. Because a Hekdesh item is always placed in a situation where it could be committed to Me'ilah for whoever comes and uses it, because no one's going to protest. Meaning the Torah tells you whoever has anah from an item of Hekdesh is going to commit Me'ilah, and Hashem knows. It's the same thing as a person knowing. What do you mean? Hashem knows what you're going to do now. So that is Ke'ilu, it's like a case of Hedit Midas. So of course he says it must be Shmuel retracted from that, because really it's not the same. You cannot learn that Hadar b'chad z'b'chaveh shaloi midaitai from Me'ila shaloi midaitai, because really by Me'ila it always is midais. Hektish, Hashem knows what you're doing. That's why you're going to be chayit. But when the shaloi midaitai, then actually Shmuel would have retracted from that halacha. There would be no proof from there to say that you're going to be chayiv. And that's because actually anyway you have to say he's retracting, because they're not comparable. So moreover, therefore, it doesn't contradict this halacha of Shmuel, because really Shmuel holds that you don't compare Hekdesh to Hedyit. So therefore, when you steal from Hekdesh is 50, Hedyit only 49. And so too, that halacha, although initially he had compared it, there was two reasons why we have to say he retracts. First of all, it contradicts this halacha. And then you can say, okay, but maybe he retracted from this and not from that one. Anyway, he has to say that you can't compare, because Dir Shalei Midas is really like Midas, so wouldn't prove for the case of Hadar B'chad Sechaver Shalei Midaitai. The Gemara continues on this topic. Amar Rava, Hani Shekuloi. These people that were, they were porters, they were people that would carry loads. So when they were transporting something, they broke a barrel of wine that belonged to the store owner. So regarding the value of this barrel, so the Gemara tells us that on the market day, he was able to fetch $5 for the barrel of wine. When it's not the market day, he was only able to get $4 for it. So says Rav the following halacha. If these porters, if these transporters would pay up the value to the storekeeper before the market day, which then the owner could still go ahead and sell it at the market day, which is going to be coming up soon, so then mahadru le chavita decham, then they could just compensate him back another barrel of wine, because he could get his $5 worth of wine from it. But if it already passed the market day and now he's only able to sell it on another day, then mahadru lehei. Then they have to pay him back the $5. The reason for that is because he could tell the porters, look, if I had this barrel of wine you were supposed to transport for me by the market day, I would have been able to get $5. Now you're paying me back, I can only get $4 out of it. You can make me lose. So therefore they have to compensate him something worth $5 and not just a barrel of wine, which should only be able to get $4 for that. Now, what qualifies Rava this halacha? He says, b'v'loy mar. We didn't say that they have to pay him back $5 if they're paying him back after the market day has already passed. Ela deloy havale, only if the storekeeper didn't have any other chamer lezvuni, he didn't have any other wine to sell, where now for sure that he would say that, look, you know, had I had wine, I would have sold. Avol havale charm lezvune. But if let's say he had wine to sell besides that barrel that they were supposed to bring him, which they broke, and he didn't sell it, so haboy lezvune. So what do you mean? He should have sold. In other words, he reveals that actually he was not going to sell it on the market. That he wasn't going to make the trip there because you had other wine. Why didn't you go and sell it? So therefore then, actually, they would only have to pay him back the barrel of wine even if it's already past the market date. Moreover, another qualification with this halacha is, even when they do have to pay him the $5, because the storekeeper already lost the opportunity of the market day, but still, umenakile, they could deduct from the $5 that they have to pay to the storekeeper, agar tirche, which is the payment of the effort. In other words, they pay him like, how much would an idle worker be willing to just sit and not do any work? Because, yeah, you could have gone to the market day. You want to spend the whole day in the market standing and selling your wares? To sell one barrel after another barrel, you have to sell cup by cup, and here this whole barrel, we're paying you its value. They deduct how much he would have been willing to just sit and not sell it in the market day and be worn out. And moreover, what they deduct is v'dame barzinayasa. So it's actually two gerasois in Rashi. Either it's karzinayasa with a chaf, which is that he, besides selling it, things don't just get sold automatically. So he has to pay to the town crier, meaning for marketing, for someone to announce regarding his wine in the streets, in the marketplaces, that this guy has wine to sell, that also costs money. So we're not just paying you, you could have made five. Yeah, but you would have had to have this expense and that effort. So he deducts all those things when they're paying the five. So one of them is how much he would have to pay for a karzinyasa, which is this guy who makes the announcements. Or the gear says, like we have it, barzinyasa, which is a term of barza. In other words, that to draw the wine from the barrel which is sold, coin after coin, pruta by pruta, you have to have a spigot to have it come out. So what they used to do is they would hire a professional who would make a good hole in the barrel to be able to put that spigot in over there, because the barrel was made out of earthenware, it was very hard to do that. And he would make the barza, so now you don't have to pay someone to do that for you, to implement that barza, and therefore he deducts that, because from all those things, he's saving that guy that effort, so although he has to give five, because it's already after the market day, and he didn't have any other wines, which proves that he really wasn't going to, so you gotta pay it, but again, you deduct how much his effort would have been, you deduct how much you would have to pay for marketing, and just you deduct how much the expenses would have been, otherwise, let's say, with this barzinyasa, to have someone work and create the spigot.